into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome along to a fairly somber Friday night racing this Friday afternoon for you here. And every Friday night racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. Johnny Ward, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, Ger. How are you?
The funeral is actually taking place. It started at 2 o'clock, and so the burial and the removal are on right now. And just to get a sense of it, you know, obviously in the time of COVID, families aren't being given the comfort of the big funerals. This would have been one of the biggest funerals, I suspect, in Ireland this or any other year, for somebody as popular as Pat Smullen to be taken so young after raising so much money and profile for pancreatic cancer and cancer research. You just know that it would have been huge. And I'm scrolling through the notices, the condolences on rip.ie, and like, it's so tragic.
Yeah, the RIP.ie feature, you know, I kind of got to know it when a person at home died this year, and it is a beautiful thing that you can, in these times, that if you're not able to go to the funeral, that you can leave, you know, your personal message of condolence. And I'd imagine if they copy and pasted and printed out the ones that are on Pat Smullen's page, you could probably make a book out of it. There would be that many, because that was the respect that racing had for him, and obviously a lot more than that as well. He was a true Irish sporting icon by the end of his life, primarily for what he'd actually achieved outside of the saddle, because racing, as much as we all love it, still a small enough sport, I suppose, in the overall scheme of things. And Pat Smullen definitely came to the fore in terms of national prominence, in terms of, you know, being struck down by horrific illness in his early 40s, and having the fortitude not only to fight it, but to, you know, raise so much money for pancreatic cancer and research. And, you know, I was given a message today from somebody just on about that fundraising. And when he got his second diagnosis, they were in the early stages of planning a fundraising weekend. And Pat and Francis, they took about 2 weeks out to kind of get their head around what was almost certainly going to be, like, you know, a fatal kind of blow for Pat. But they went straight back into the fundraising straight afterwards. And, you know, I was obviously speaking to you during the week after Pat passed away, and I didn't know, you know, that what Johnny Murch revealed after winning the Matron Stakes on Saturday with Champers Elysee, he got a text from Pat Smullen. And I mean, what we shouldn't probably lose sight of as well is how much he suffered. He absolutely suffered. He suffered awful, awful illness. He suffered pain. He suffered the mental pain of knowing that he was going away. And through all of this, he was texting Johnny Murta, congratulating him on Saturday, probably realizing that he would be dead himself within the next few days, which he was. And today is a horrible day for Irish racing, really.
Dermot Wells said the same thing. They were getting texts as well at the weekend of Champions Weekend, celebrating the fact that those horses were winning. And, you know, in an alternative reality, he would have been on some of them.
Absolutely, he would have had a very good run of it of late, you know, because Dermot's horses have really hit form, and Pat was just top class as a rider, you know. He'd probably, I suppose he'd met somebody as hungry as he was for success in Weld, who he had on last Friday, and who spoke so glowingly of Pat. You know, and it's always difficult for jockeys when they're injured and they look at, you know, jockeys riding winners that they should be riding, but it takes on a completely different personality altogether when you know that, you know, you're not going to be riding again. And, he even had a few spells riding out at Dermot's when after his diagnosis, and it's just, I don't know, it's just very hard to get one's head around it. I think it'll come to the fore subsequently how strong his wife Frances is. She's from, you know, an amazing racing family, that of Joe Crowley, and, you know, they're steeped in racing. But I suppose my own experience of Frances is just, you know, as much as she was a classic winning trainer, the way she's dealt with this along with Pat has been quite amazing, really. And the three kids will have a mother that'll, you know, help them through this, because it's I'm just speculating as to how horrible it must be. And you know, life begins for Irish Racing now post Pat's Mullen, and that's for me is a very strange place for us to be in.
Look, we've been paying tribute to him all week here on the show, and we're going to hear from Dermot Weld in a moment. We'll hear from Johnny Murta, and we'll hear from Fran Berry, one of his best friends. But we actually did speak with Pat back in April 2019. John Molloy went down and sat with him in his home and spent a good couple of hours. And if you get the opportunity to go back and look at it, I think, like all of these things in sport, we tend to get very singular views of the people who are involved, cardboard cutouts in some respects, unless actually you get the opportunity to come at this from a different angle. And obviously with the downtime that Pat Smullen had, this is what, 18 months ago now, we really did get the opportunity to kind of get to know him a little bit better. So this is when he was still recovering and receiving treatment, and in this short clip of that interview he talks here about how the illness changed his life perspective. Have a look.
I thought my job was very important, and yeah. I thought I was a very important person. And I thought...
Dee doesn't have a handwritten note from Bono in her toilet.
Well, she deserves one. But, you know, I, as I said, you go around in a bubble, don't you? You think sure. that you're very important in the job that you're doing. And it is. It's a big business, don't get me wrong. But when something like this happens, and I was a very selfish person, you know, towards my wife and the kids, and to me it was all about riding horses and winning races and delivering on the day for the owners and the trainers, and I was, to be honest, a little bit obsessed with it. And but by God, does not open your eyes to what is important in life, and you know what the surgeons do, what the oncologists do, what the nurses do. I mean, they're heroes. I mean, what sporting people do is very, very entertaining for a lot of people, and a lot of people get enjoyment out of it. But when your back is against the wall and it's a serious situation, you know, these people don't get half enough recognition. But they don't want recognition. They're just doing their job, which is amazing. Whereas, you know, you get a little bit complacent yourself and think this is great, all this, you know, plaudits you get for winning races, and it opened my eyes to what life is actually about.
It was interesting what you said to round things off about selfishness.
Yeah.
And there are different, you know, we talk to different categories of sports people on the show all the time, and there can be the Simon Zeebo, Jamie Heaslip types who barely watch the sport and are relaxed and rock up on game day and do their thing and can park it. I think you're more in the Roy Keane, obsessive, driven, 24/7. Am I good enough? Self-critical. You're on that stress wheel.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was, yeah.
What's it like been getting off that? I appreciate in the midst of a difficult time, but has it been interesting to, for the first time probably in your adult life, come away from that hamster wheel?
I've actually, dealt with it well, better than Frances thought I would.
Right.
My family and friends, I think they thought because I wasn't going to be able to ride that this could be not good for me, you know what I mean? That how I'm going to cope with it. But I've surprised myself as well in that. But when you're faced with something as serious as what I had to face, I think reality comes into play, and then you realise how important what you're facing is rather than what you have been doing for the last 25 years. But that said, that was me, and that's how I'd like to think that's why I was successful, is because I gave it everything. And when there was obviously, you know, better riders than me, I think my work ethic, my dedication and my determination to succeed overcame the lack of maybe ability in places, and I think that was very, very important for me to make it a success, and thankfully I think it has been.
That's Pat Smullen back in April 2019 speaking with Joe Molloy. That full video is up on our YouTube channel, and definitely worth having a look. You know, Johnny, we talk all the time about how singular and determined all of these jockeys have to be to get to the absolute pinnacle of their sport, which is exactly where Pat Smullen was. And it's always interesting to hear them kind of say that, you know, you sometimes have regrets about not making the time for your family. Pat did get the time to make time for his family and did get the time to kind of have that realization.
Yeah, I was in Tala last night and, you know, absolutely marveling at Zlatan Ibrahimovic at his age, you know, the brilliance of the man and how at that stage of his career he could be still so good and just be that different gear to, you know, even players in his own team at times. And I suppose that's reflective of somebody looking after himself. And Pat was really, really driven in his career. And I think he's absolutely, you know, a person who just told it as it is. And I think when he said he was selfish there, he completely meant it. And the wives and girlfriends of the top jockeys, they have an awful lot to put up with. It's, you know, they're probably miserable to be around a lot of the time, particularly those who are not, you know, who have to struggle to do weights. And I think the people at home have, they don't have it easy. And I don't think Francis Crowley had it easy when Pat was alive and riding as much as he was. You're traveling an awful lot, not particularly glamorous either, you know. And I imagine Pat's mood would have been a little bit swayed by how he got on at the track. And again, he was very honest in that he wasn't necessarily the most talented rider, even of his generation, but he just worked on it. But I think genuinely that, you know, as much as it was a horrible way for him to find out, it gave him the realization that with three young kids and with a wife, that there was more to life than racing. But I suppose the flip side of that is what helped make him as good as he was the fact that he was just so single-minded and tunnel-visioned into making it as a jockey. And Pat could have ridden, I mean, he's 43 as he passed away. I mean, easily could have ridden well into his late 40s and probably wouldn't have regressed much, if at all. And, you know, gotten to the stage of a Frankie Dettori or whatever. And he just had that hunger to do it. But he's very honest there. You know, it's a tough game, and a lot of wives and families just have to kind of put up with it. And that's the life of the top class jockey for me.
1,845 winners in Ireland, 47 in Britain, including obviously Harzand in the Epsom Derby and the Irish Derby in 2016. It was generally for Dermot Weld that he did most of his riding. He was the jockey there for more than two decades, and we spoke with Dermot Weld on Wednesday evening about the loss of his close friend and colleague. Have a look.
Today has been a very, very emotional day, to be quite honest, and I was very proud the way all the people came out of the Curragh today to watch the funeral cortege go by. There were several hundred people out there just in our area to watch it going by, if you know what I mean. It stopped, as you may know, at the Curragh race course, and see the coffin with his, with the number clause from both the Epsom and the Irish Derby of Harzand on it.
The outpouring for Pat has been so striking. I mean, he was an immensely popular person.
Well, he was a fabulous individual. And, you know, his loyalty, his integrity speaks volumes, because that's the sort of man he was, if you know what I mean. He was first and foremost, he was a wonderful human being. He was kind, generous, but as I said, integrity and loyalty have to be right up there.
Which I presume is a big part of your long, long association together, 20-odd years.
Yeah, we're a 20-year stable jockey here, you know what I mean? That we became wonderful friends, you know, we travelled the world, you know, some of the big race wins that he had. I always say we went to California with a very good filly called Dress to Trill, but we went into the Lion's Den, we took on the two best turf fillies of the United States in a race called the Matriarch. And she went off third or fourth favourite, but it was a brilliant ride from Patty. Outrode the two best jockeys riding on the west coast of America, and she got up to win either a head or a neck. But it was an unbelievable drive from Pat Smullen to beat the two best riders they had in America at the time. I forget who they were, Mike Smith and somebody else.
I was listening to Ruby Walsh, was talking somewhere this afternoon, and he was making the observation that he never felt Pat was a jockey, unlike others, I suspect, a jockey who had, you know, tons of natural self-confidence, that it was something he worked at, and maybe he worked so hard, maybe as a result of that. I don't know what your thoughts
are. Yeah, I think that would be fair. I hope I, in some small way, helped to give him confidence. Very often, I just used to say, I actually remember going out for Melbourne Cup, joking him, I said, you just go out and enjoy yourself. And he knew what I meant by that. But he would do, as I said, he would have a lot of homework done on the opposition. And this is the key. He would have his horse in the position where he wanted him to be so he could deliver his challenge. Like, he won the English 2000 Guineas for me on a horse called Refuse to Bend, which, by the way, I think is a very appropriate name, because when Pat was diagnosed with cancer, that's what he didn't do. He refused to bend.
You said, Dermot, you became friends as well. You travelled the world together. In your casual conversations on flights or in cars or in helicopters, was it always racing that you talked about, or other stuff as well?
No. We talked about the world. We talked about life. We talked about how short life is, surprising. You know, I'm fully aware of humanity, and, you know, he was a very humble guy, Pat Smullen. And that was one of the lovely qualities he had. He was a highly respectful, humble person. And Ruby was right. He didn't realize how good he was. That's the best way to put it. And he didn't want to realize how good he was. He was 9 times champion jockey. Mm. He was, I would say, he was unquestionably in the top 6 riders of the world. Not just of Europe. He was in the top 6 of the world for many years.
He said his diagnosis in 2018 was like being hit with a sledgehammer, and I fully imagine it was. Can you give us an insight, maybe, Dermot, into how he dealt with the last 2 years of his life?
I think he dealt exceptionally well with the last 2 years of his life. He was a fighter. As I said, he refused to bend. That's why I mentioned the name of the horse he won the Guineas, that we won the Guineas with. It was a Moyglare colt. He just refused to give in. He refused to lie down under it. And I said, he did the exact... Remember, this time last year, he hoped to ride actually, in the charity race, the Legends race, which was the race that started off to raise the $2.5 million for cancer research. But he fought it. That's the best way to put it. He fought it hard. Mm. And that's why I feel so sad, because he fought so hard, he deserved to live longer for his 3 wonderful children and his dear wife.
That's Dermot Well talking about his stable jockey, Pat Smullen, and it was a year to the day after the Pat Smullen Champions Race for Cancer Trials, 15th of September 2019. These Keep Cups were one of the fundraising initiatives that they had, and I think, so the racing stuff there, Johnny, is fairly amazing to hear from Dermot Well, putting him in the top 6 jockeys in the world. For anybody in Ireland to be at that level in any of their sports, you realise is pretty vaunted company. But actually, I think the point you made earlier on, it's the stuff off the track that in some ways is going to have the longest legacy, because unfortunately loads of people go through tragedies in their lives, but they don't always turn it into something that is meaningful and that has the potential to pay it forward. Raising money for research is difficult. To go out there and tell everybody, look, this is a disease and, you know, I'm suffering with it at the moment, but actually, you know what, if we all come together, then who knows, maybe by sharing information and by backing science, maybe at some point down the road, there might be a cure for this.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that you showed the Keep Cup there. I was just getting a cup of coffee this morning and Pat Smullen's face just popped out in the Keep Cup, and I think there'll be an awful lot of homes around Ireland and even elsewhere where Pat Smullen will be in the home for a long time, because that beautiful Keep Cup that they sold, I think there were 10 or each, and they sold loads of them at Champions Weekend. I think Birdie did the images, that he's a well-known racing scribbler, and he put together these beautiful images of them. But, you know, I'd actually kind of half forgotten what Dermot was saying there, that Pat was intending to ride in that race. And you can imagine if he were, because the emotions that day as it was were just literally up at 100% at the car. It was a day when, you know, it was an abstract in itself. It just took on a completely different level, and the money's raised. You know, I look at people like Colin Murray, we'll say, and Doddy Weir, who got motor neuron disease, and they would be among those who're fighting a horrific, horrific debilitating disease, but want to make a difference, because first of all, I suppose they want a purpose, but they also look at things differently and say, I actually want to make a difference. And Pat made a difference, because pancreatic cancer is, you know, the prognosis is almost like a death sentence for so many people. And, you know, he battled on much longer. The odds were against him, very big odds that he got as far as he did, but he wanted to make a difference. And everyone listening right now has somebody close to him or her who suffered from cancer or died from cancer, because it is all pervasive. And the money raised was jaw-dropping. And, you know, people within racing, some people donated massive, massive money. You know, you look at some of the Arab money that came in to fight this, because Pat just galvanized people. And if Pat had been an asshole, first of all, he wouldn't have done this. And second of all, if he did do it, the reaction wouldn't have been what it was. But I was, I don't think anyone's struggle in life has ever affected me like his did, purely because it gave perspective, and his perspective changed. And he realized that you're in your own bubble in life in many respects. And I think COVID-19 and lockdown has forced people to look at things differently, and maybe think that whatever your day-to-day, kind of raison d'etre is, might actually not be the one that is right, or might just be one that's different to the one that you could take on. And I think Pat basically embraced that life has many different strands to it, and to look after your family. And, you know, for those kids to lose their daddy is horrific. But, you know, his daughter Hannah put up a tweet saying, "My hero," after he passed away, with three beautiful photos of her dad. And his legacy is going to be incredible. And I think people in cancer research, the cancer research trials, you know, all evidence was that they were absolutely blown away by what he achieved. You just do not get money like they did, because of, and I think in terms of racing, which, you know, gets its knockers from time to time, there was just so much pride in what racing actually did for cancer research. And Pat Bullen wasn't a jockey, he was just a fundraising icon at that stage. And the legacy is going to be immense. I would hope that the people who look into cancer research and the various bodies in Ireland will honour him in some way because of the role that he played.
Okay, I think we can hear from Johnny Murtagh as well, who obviously, so we've heard from the trainer who was responsible for his greatest triumph. Let's hear from one of his rivals. This is Johnny Murtagh, who's speaking to us on OTBAM during the week.
He was the man in the weigh room, you know, in the end, that everybody wanted to be like. Everybody wanted to be like Pat Smullen, because, you know, what you got was what you seen. It was just, he was the main man. But I think when he started that fundraising, I think outside the racing, you know, that all the other people around the world got to see the other side of Pat Smullen. That steely determination. Listen, when he got diagnosed first, it was not a good outcome. You know, we knew it was not going to be a good outcome, but he went through the treatment, and I genuinely thought this guy is going to pull through. You know, it's not going to beat this guy. It's just another hurdle that's coming his way. He's going to overcome it. I met him at a couple of functions. You know, in the last 2 years, he seemed in great form. Always very positive. His mind was always very positive. And then to go and do the fundraising, to start, you know, to create the race that brought together all the champions from all over, Mackay, Walsh, Charlie Swan, Paul Carberry. You know, no one else would have done that, only for Pat Smullen. You wouldn't have done it for anybody else. So I think that's what he had. He had that. He's going to come through. He's going to come through. But, you know, it was only last week speaking to Kevin O'Ryan when I said, "Oh, how is Pat?" Just by his reaction, I got the feeling that all was not well, you know. But it's a hammer blow. But I think everybody outside racing got to see the human being he was, the man he was. They got a feel for him, and as I said, you couldn't but just love the guy, you know. As I said, I had those great battles with him. We were head to head on many occasions. But deep down, I really love the guy.
It's Johnny Murtagh talking about the respect, I guess, that his rivals have for the talent and the hard work and the dedication and the sheer bloody-mindedness that saw him eke out 1,800-odd victories. I think that was the other thing, like, listening to him talk earlier in the interview with Joe and listening to Johnny Murtagh talk there, that, like, there was a hard edge, as there has to be, to somebody to be an elite sports person who gets to the top eventually and then keeps the elbows out to make sure that you stay there.
Yeah, I'd say, like, Pat was a bit like, I was asking a fella from Tyrone, actually, who I'd met last week. I ended up cycling with a guy from Tyrone. I think he's from the same club as Ryan McMenamin. He was saying he was just a different animal on the pitch. Great guy off the pitch. He took on a different persona. And I think probably people can relate to that. Pat was probably a bit like that as well. You know, there are stories of, he was a hard man to ride against. He was really, really single-minded. He wanted to win. probably at the expense of maybe other things that he should have pursued and enjoyed earlier in his life, because racing was all encompassing and he wanted to win. And he was a really, really tenacious rider. You know, there was no, he wasn't going to give you an inch if an inch weren't there. He wasn't going to, you know, be friendly with you in the race just because he was, you know, your buddy. And I did enjoy that Johnny Murtagh, you know, interview during the week, because Johnny's just, I mean, so much time for Johnny. I think the one thing that Johnny said there, nobody would have done it. People wouldn't have done it only for Pat. I think Johnny Murtagh's respect in racing is absolutely massive as well. And the way he's kind of turned himself into this brilliant trainer, but also just how likable he is and the effect that he leaves in everyone that he gets. But he's honest. And he was saying, as he said in that interview, like, we had our battles. We weren't best friends all the time because we were, you know, we were really, these are top class riders. They're trying to get to the top. And I spoke to a journalist last night and he said to me, and we're on about Pat, and he said, in 15 years, I think we'd one bad word. And I said, what was that? And he said, oh, there was one day where he was at a race meet and I asked him after an incident, did his horse clip heels with another horse? And he flipped the lid and he ran off of me. And I said, geez, will you, why don't you calm down? Like, and that was that anyway. And at the end of the race, and your man is left in the press room, Pat comes in. And it's been on his mind. And he said, I'm sorry, I apologize. And that was just like, that was Pat. You know, he was brilliant to deal with as a journalist. Not always in the best mood necessarily, but he knew, like, even that day he came back to the journalist and felt bad that he'd flipped the lid. Because, and you forget the pressure they're under as well, Ger. I mean, he referenced that in the interview with Joe. Obviously, you're riding horses worth fortunes, races worth so much money, and, you know, so much money on the line for these mega owners, and, you know, you're riding in derbies and all that. It's very, very tough. But Pat had a conscience, and I think the last few years of his life, that gave a very good indication of just the decency of the man and just where his heart was very much in the right place. And
yeah,
I really hope that Francis and the family get strength from the very well-meaning and utterly justified kind of regard that people will show for him in death.
The outpouring has definitely been remarkable.
Absolutely.
There's one last clip here, and integrity was the other thing that Dermot Wells spoke about in his interview with Joe the other night. This is Fran Berry, who I'm pretty sure was speaking to us from the Smullen House during the week in the aftermath of the news breaking, and one of his best friends and somebody who'd been there and soldiered alongside him and kind of had come up just a couple of years after him, really, so would have gone up against him as well at the absolute peak of both their careers, and no better man to round out this testimony here. This is Fran Berry talking to Joe during the week.
I don't know, it's probably like some of them friendships that don't go, we didn't see eye to eye initially. We used to have a few run-ins and just getting going and rivalry and whatnot, and then we just seemed to gel and travel a lot together, and Pat moved up to Kilcullen, and we travelled more together, and Declan McDonagh and Kevin Manning and the four of us, and just became firm friends over time. And you know, really tough rivalry on the track, like, you know, you couldn't make it up how you go out and ride against each other, try to get rides off each other, and then travel race together and laugh about it on the way home. You know, it was a unique friendship and situation for the four of us, not just myself and Pat, you know.
Yeah, all kind of you know, facades are put in the ground. You're kind of on top of each other and seeing the real, you know, the good, the bad and the ugly at times of each other. And Dermot, and you mentioned as well, talked about his competitive edge, which you don't really hear so much when he's being interviewed, particularly of late. You know, he's so mild-mannered and modest and quietly spoken. So give us a sense of the fight that was in him as a jockey.
Yeah, do you know what? He just had to win every day, Joe, and he wanted to win. And I think it was from where he started at. It was all or nothing when he left school to go riding. And as he said, a few numerous times, and he said it once or twice in interviews, it had to work.
Mm.
And he never took his foot off the pedal for fear that if he did, things would drop away. And he brought that to Roscommon on a Monday or Ballinrobe on a Tuesday. And it was the same Pat Smullen that you got in Royal Ascot on a big day. You know, he just was so consistent. And I think from the smallest man in racing with a horse training it or own it, to the largest, they wanted him because they knew they were getting that commitment.
Pancreatic cancer, such a devastating blow. Did you see much of him or talk much to him over the past couple of years?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like when the diagnosis came through that time, I was in England at the time and flew back the next day and went to see him in Vincent's. And, you know, like to see what he went through, and he never once complained. It was just, we're getting this treatment, this is the plan. this stage, next stage. And when there was a setback, you know, it'd be a blow, but then he'd pick himself up. And you know, and I think the last couple of years, the not riding, but the time he spent with his family, he knew that was, looking back, and now precious time, you know. And I think he really, really appreciated to have that opportunity.
You didn't make it back to the Curragh today, Fran, or did you?
No, I didn't. I'm actually back living in Ireland now, so I was there, and it was very touching and so sad in some respects. But credit to the whole industry and the Curragh racing community that turned out today. It was very fitting, very, very fitting. And to go to the Curragh where he basically spent every morning working, and he loved riding out there. He loved doing the work and loved race riding there. So it was just a great way, especially with the COVID times that we're in, for people to just pay their respects.
He made a real impression for a quiet man and somebody who wouldn't have tried to garner attention, certainly deliberately.
Yeah, Joe, you know, the last 24 hours, we just said it all, how popular he was and how much he touched people's lives. And I suppose the one legacy, apart from a wonderful family that he leaves behind him, is that cancer trials research. And if that €3 million that he put together, which I don't know how he comprehend that amount of money to be garnered on one day, contributes to saving somebody's life or improving the research into pancreatic cancer, that we can see progress, I think he will be happy with that. You know, it's his legacy, and he was just a really sound, wonderful man that you knew what you see was what you get, and he was very good to people, and it's just such a loss.
That's Fran Berry there, a great friend of Pat Smullen, talking about the impact that he'd had on his life. And look, maybe the Keep Cup can be reissued, I don't know, or maybe they can, when we're all available to go racing again, they can have another race at the Curragh, and that could become an annual event. And maybe that legacy can become something that lives on into the future. There was one comment on the RIP condolences that I just wanted to read one last time. Come on, Smullen, rest in peace, Pat, and may the memories of your talent and goodness bring some comfort to your loved ones, from somebody who signed themselves a Kildare punter. I thought that that one, in the midst of the thousands, that one, I don't know why it struck me, but it did. One, to wrap this up, Johnny, one specific singular memory that you'll take from the racing career on the track?
Yeah, you can definitely relate to that punter, because Pat was like, it's kind of a lot of crap said, oh, he always, geez, you know, that jockey'd always give you the best the run for your money or whatever. But Pat did, like, Pat wasn't interested in riding horses that weren't there to absolutely win. And around Galway, it was, you know, he was the darling of punters. For the amount of people in Galway who've had a few beers and, like, maybe things aren't going great, but they're like, should we'll back Smullen in the last for Weld or whatever. And Pat Smullen was absolutely an icon in Galway, because he was just amazing the way he got horses home. I should mention as well, just Jim Bulger, you know, in terms of racing, Jim Bulger's cancer charity stuff as well has been absolutely remarkable. We should definitely not lose sight of the good work that's gone on in racing. But my favourite Smullen memory, now that you asked, is it's actually kind of an odd one. It was a 50 grand handicap at the Curragh. And Willie McCreary, who we've had on a couple of times on the show, he trained this horse called Tylery Wonder. And he was a bit like a horse that Fran actually used to ride, called Osterhazy, who was Osterhazy was one of these, like, he was a bit of a nut job of a horse, like 5 furlongs, just bang bang, all or nothing. And Tylery Wonder was kind of like that. And Smullen was off on him one day in 2015, I think, and it was a handicap. He was 16-1, so he wasn't fancied, and he was drawn completely the wrong side. So he was drawn like away from the stands in maybe a 16-20 runner race, and Smullen got him out. And towards the end of the race, he'd actually bagged the rail. So he'd basically done this, like, almost like a 45 degree angle across the field, using a horse's sort of natural pace without kind of killing his energy towards the end of the race. And on a 16-1 shot, who had absolutely no right to win, Smullen got him home. And I remember thinking at the time, maybe it was just me that had a special kind of regard for that ride, but I thought in terms of tactical brilliance and natural horsemanship from a guy who was self-proclaimed as not the most talented in the world, I thought it was absolutely awesome. And if you have the various websites, you can look back on that ride. But for me, that was my favourite. And I think because of what Fran Berry was saying there as well, Jerry, you know, it's not about Harzan, really. It's not about it's about the horses that he rode in Sligo or in Ballinrobe or in Wexford or in these country tracks, because Pat Mullen was the same to an owner in a 0-60 as he was to the Aga Khan, and he was the same to that horse. He just wanted to win, and every race was a winning opportunity for him.
Yeah, and look, Joe made the comparison with Roy Keane. Roy Keane, obviously, you know, never the most talented, but actually to reach that level where you're one of the best in the world, you know, we really want to send our condolences to the family and to everybody involved in racing, because really, truly, the sport has lost one of its greats. And if anybody wants to share any memories, feel free to do so. And, you know, I think RIP, the website, and leave your condolences on that. You know, I think that certainly, as you've said, it is something that brings some comfort to families at this moment where they aren't able to see the surge of people that would be at this funeral. I have no doubt that it would have been one of the biggest funerals.
I suppose, yeah, on that as well, you can imagine the... You know, you can just imagine where the families, where their head is at the moment. And when they do get time to reflect and look back on the RIP.ie condolences messages, there will be people from people that Francis, there will be messages from people that Francis will have forgotten. And they will bring back memories of, oh, yeah, that's what Pat did. And there'll probably be from all over the world. Pat touched me in this way, or Pat touched me in that way, or Pat wrote a winner for me, such and such and down Patrick. You're going to get all these beautiful messages that will actually... revive memories that might have been lost in Francis and the family. And I think that'll be beautiful as well, because Pat's dead, but he has to live on as well. And you know, he has to live on in our memories, because we're all the better for that, and the family will certainly be clinging to that as well.
All right, Friday Night Racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. We were unlucky last week. Fernando Vici was outside the places at Leopardstown on Saturday, which leaves the Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Fund at €2,090. This weekend we have another €100 back courtesy of Tote. Sunday sees the Listowel Harvest Festival get underway. Tote.ie customers can enjoy the Tote versus SP price guarantee on all races. Check out Tote.ie for more. What's our tip this week, Johnny?
Well, it has to be one from the Dermahuel Yard, Ildama in the 3:10 at Gorn. Needless to say, you know, a horrific week for the stable. And this is a horse that I think Pat would have certainly been happy to get up in the morning to ride. She's a very good chance. She's quite a classy horse as well. Taking on a couple of more battle-hardened horses from Aidan McGuinness and Johnny Murta's yard. Johnny Murta's horse, Lord Rapscallion, is gonna have a big chance. But without in any way knocking Johnny's competitive spirit, I think he wouldn't be overly disappointed if Dermahuel beats him with Eldama here. And this could be one for the Welsh stable. I think she's a great chance. That's in Gorn tomorrow in the 3:10. And that was a track that Pat rode extremely well in. He was a brilliant front-running rider. And if Pat Smullen were out in front and something and you were behind him, that's where you stayed most of the time.
And Kabir, what kind of price do you think?
I did the price in the Racing Post. Think about 13 days. Apologies on the Fernando Vici. He came in fourth. He kind of just looked a bit too slow in the race, but that won't be a problem for her. She's a little bit inexperienced, but she's loads of ability and will be getting weight off the other two who count in the race. So maybe 7-4. You might even get 2-1.
All right, Johnny, good stuff. Thanks very much for that. Friday Night Racing, every Friday, is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. We're live at 3 o'clock on the OTV Sports app, and then, of course, at 8 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk as well. We'll see you next week. Best of luck.
Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.